So let's read together 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 17. Here we have the account of the Shunammite woman who built a prophet's chamber for the prophet Elisha and in turn was blessed with a son. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning at verse 8. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunam, where there was a notable woman, and she constrained him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, that he turned in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table and a chair, and a lampstand. So it will be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." And it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite woman." When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?'" And she answered, "I dwell among my own people." So he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Actually, she has no son, and her husband is old." And he said, "Call her." When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No, my lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." And the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. Well, first of all, some background notes. The village of Shunam, where the woman lived, was located in the northern kingdom of Israel. Shunam was in the vicinity of the travels of the prophet Elisha. And this woman would notice Elisha as he regularly passed their house. In verse 8, we read that this woman was a prominent or notable woman. Apparently, she was well known in the area, probably because of her many good deeds touching the lives of many people. We also see that she was not too busy to help Elisha, the servant of God. She not only provided food for him when he was in that vicinity, but she persuaded her husband to have an upper room built on their house for Elisha. You need to remember that their house would have had a flat roof with a staircase on the outside, so that this upper room then would make a nice little apartment for Elisha where he could come and go at will. As a result of this kindness, Elisha predicted that they would have a son. And this blessing seemed too good to be true. After all, they had not been able to have any children, and now they were getting older and beyond the time for having children. And she would have given anything to have a child, but she was afraid to get her hopes up. But sure enough, in fulfillment of Elisha's prediction, we read in verse 17, "And the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her." Now, what about doctrinal points from this first portion of the story of the Shunammite woman? Doctrinal point number one: God rewards those who care for the needs of his servants. God rewards those who care for the needs of his servants. The Shunammite woman was a busy woman, but not too busy to care for the needs of God's servant, Elisha. The woman was spiritually sensitive to the needs of God's servants. Look at verse 10 once again. "Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." Now I want you to notice, a bed, a table, a chair, and a lampstand. Not just a bed for rest, but this woman was really spiritually sensitive to the needs of God's servant, Elisha. Now many of you think, well, this is not important that these items would be mentioned. But believe me, if you're in the Lord's work and doing any travel, a table and a chair or a desk and a chair in a room are extremely important. Did you ever try to write out a sermon sitting on a bed? when there's no chairs or table in the room? Not easy. And yet I've been to camps and other places where I've been expected to give a week's ministry and all I have in the room is a bed and a dresser. Well, what do you do in a case like that? Well, you make do. You know, there are clipboards. You can sit on a bed with a clipboard. Or you move the dresser up to the bed and you sit there and kind of have an awkward position there using the dresser as a desk. Or you go somewhere else in the camp to prepare your ministry. But oh, what a blessing it is to pull into a place where you have to give a week of ministry and you open the door of your room and there is a desk and a lamp. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the spiritual sensitivity of these people. Well, this woman was sensitive to the needs of God's servant, Elisha. Not only a bed, a table, chair, a lamp. This Shunammite woman cared for the needs of God's servant. And as a result, she was blessed and rewarded. You know, we see this same truth taught, the truth that God rewards those who care for the needs of his servants. We see that same truth taught in the Olivet Discourse. Would you turn to Matthew chapter 25 and verses 33 through 40? This is in the context of the judgment of the sheep and the goats, which will take place when the Lord returns to set up his kingdom on earth. This is given in the Olivet Discourse. The sheep are the believers who come out of all the nations at that time. Now, I want you to notice as we read this, how the Lord rewards them, and what is the basis of their reward. Matthew 25, verse 33. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me. These believers will be rewarded on the basis of their care for God's servants. It will be evidence of their faith. God rewards those who care for the needs of his servants. It's a great truth taught throughout the Bible and certainly seen in this story of the Shunammite woman. God rewards those who care for the needs of his servants. Doctrinal point number two, God's servants should never presume upon the goodness of God's people. God's servants should never presume upon the goodness of God's people. Notice that Elisha did not take the Shunammite woman's kindness for granted. He had Gehazi, his servant, go and call her, and he says there in verse 13, look, you have been concerned with us with all this care. What can I do for you? And he even goes further and says, do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? And you might say, well, wait a minute. How could Elisha do that? I thought King Jehoram at this point was a wicked king. I thought Elisha wasn't on good terms with the king. Well, that's true. But you got to remember back in chapter 3, Elisha had really come to the rescue of King Jehoram and the whole army when they were out there dying of thirst in the wilderness. Elisha saved the day, so he does have some pull with the king and the commander of the army. Well, the woman here says she doesn't need any of that, but the point here is that Elisha, as the servant of God, is very thankful. As the servant of God, he's very thankful for the kindness that's been shown to him by the Shunammite woman. He doesn't take it for granted. He doesn't say, well, I deserve this. After all, I'm a servant of God. Or, this is her privilege to give to me. I'm one of God's servants. No, God's servants should never presume upon the goodness of God's people. More we could say here, but let's move right on to practical application. Practical application number one. Are you content with your status Are you content with your status? Look again there at verse 13. When he says, what can be done for you? Shall I speak to the king or to the commander of the army? The Shunammite woman says, I dwell among my people. What she means by this is, I'm content. I don't need the king's help. I don't need to move. I don't need to travel. I don't need more stuff to be better than my people, to be better than the Joneses or whatever. She's content with her status. Can you say that? That you're content with your status? Notice that the woman doesn't add, oh, if only God would have given me children. No, she's a godly woman and she's learned the secret of adjusting to God's sovereign ways. She's content with her status in life. Sometimes it's not easy to see why God gives children to some folks but not to others, or plenty of money to some folks but not to others, or a great job to one person and a loss of a job to another. We don't understand these things. But the question is, are you content with your status? You know, I have a friend on the East Coast. He's about my age, and I've known him for a long time. He is a Christian, but he's never been content. He's always looking for something more or different. And as a result, it's been very hard on his wife and his family and others as well. He doesn't have any time for Christian service because he's just not content. Are you content with your status? Practical application number two. Have you ever built a prophet's chamber? The Shunammite woman was content with her status, and therefore she was free to be concerned and sensitive to the needs of others. And as a result, she and her husband built this upper room for the prophet, a prophet's chamber for Elisha. Have you ever built a prophet's chamber? Now, what I mean by this is more than giving money. You see, sometimes giving money can be easy. But building a prophet's chamber, that means to be looking around, being sensitive to the needs of the Lord's servants, to the needs that are there, out there, that need to be met, and then meeting that need, not just with money. Have you ever built a prophet's chamber? You know, I know of a church where a group of women in the church get together once a month, and they select a woman on the foreign mission field, either a single woman or the wife of a foreign missionary, and they find out all they can about that woman and her needs, including her sizes for clothes, and then they go out and purchase items to meet the needs of that woman missionary, including clothes that fit. These women have been doing this every month for over 20 years. That's building a prophet's chamber. Have you ever built a prophet's chamber? In other words, done more than just give money, look around, see what the needs are, and then go and meet that need. Whether it be the need of a Lord's servant somewhere, or the need of something that's right around here, giving more than money. Let's do more than just give money. Let's build prophets' chambers. Have you ever built a prophet's chamber?